Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast at the Houston Open, Tony Finau rolled to yet another win. We break it down, plus a ton of LPGA content coming your way from the Course of Life team. I was at the CMA group practice round Monday, and we have a special LPGA guest, a recent winner, Gemma Dryberg, on the show. She just won in Japan and joins us to talk all about it. We're tuned into Friends of the Show, Tying the Knot, and a big but little announcement from our co-hosts as well. And this week's guest, recurring guest, Elizabeth Diane Martin, to help you plan that 2023 golf trip. She's a golf travel guru and has some great tips for you. Plus Florida seafood and Thanksgiving chat. Tis the season when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. Mike, hot, humid Florida golf and definitely needs hydration. And thanks to our friends at Desert Fox Golf, they not only make the foam caddy, which we know and love, but they make those swing aid tumblers. So that's how I kept my drink nice and cool. And there's a cool variety of tumblers that you can send to any type of person in your life, golfer or not. So be sure to check out desertfoxgolf.com. They've got all sorts of cool ideas for holidays, shopping for the golfer in your life. Our promo code is Course of Life. Again, promo code Course of Life saves you 10% off anything on the website. So promo code Course of Life at desertfoxgolf.com. Check out the tumblers, the phone caddies, and everything else they have to offer for the golfer in your life this holiday season.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and our newest partners at Voris Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, they were in Texas this past week for the Cadence Bank Houston Open. And Tony Finau, can he be stopped? He's one of the hottest golfers of the year, and he added another W to his repertoire this weekend. Just a commanding performance from Tony out there.
It was. Very dominant. The narrative is going to come now. And of course, because we love to, on social media and the golf world, we love to just bring people down a peg. So he's racking up the wins. It's his fourth win in 15 months. Let's give him credit for that. But he has a knack for kind of showing up and dominating these events where it's not the greatest field in the world. So regardless, though, an impressive performance from Finau, who reemerges as a winner, like I said, fourth time in 15 months. Very impressive.
Not the hottest field in the world, but we did have the likes of Scottie Scheffler out there who, if he had played better, I mean, he had tied for ninth finish. Yep. Not horrible. Not great. If he had had a better week, he could have reclaimed the number one spot in the world. So,
it's really not that tightly held by Rory, I guess. It is pretty close of a margin, it appears.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it is. So he didn't do it, but he had an okay week. There are other good guys out in the field, but we do have to talk maybe briefly about Taylor Montgomery.
Yeah, well. I mean, it was a little bit of what I would call maybe a letdown week. Oh, too bad. He still made the cut. The guy is still perfect in making cuts in his rookie season. But regardless, it was good to see him play the weekend. My picks overall were decent. I did have Scheffler and Joel Damon, who both finished in the top 10. I think I'm going to lean on Damon again this week at the RSM there because he's been playing well. But regardless, I'd say maybe a B-minus week for the picks. Hopefully next week I can get one more winner in the clubhouse before the unofficial end of PGA Tour golf.
That's right. We'll talk about the RSM in just a couple minutes. But first, let's talk about the LPGA. They were they're in Florida for 2 weeks here to round out the season. First at the Pelicans Women's Open in Tampa Bay, St. Pete area. Shortened to 54 holes because of tropical storm / hurricane Nicole.
Yes, it was Nicole.
So they a little shorter week, but that's okay. Nelly Cordes still had a great weekend.
Yeah, I mean, she just toughed it out when the going gets tough, grinding, and you could see the emotion on her face because of everything that she's been through with her health, which we have kind of dialogued in the last 6 to 12 months for her to kind of get back to. It seems like she's going to officially get back to number one. It's not 100% official, but
I think it is now, actually, that she's number
100%
one player.
Official right now. So the emotion was pouring out from her, and you could tell she wanted this one with everything that's gone on with her health this year. It's been great to see her bounce back in just perfect timing right here at the end of the season when the money gets real big and it really matters, too.
That's right, because now they roll straight from that into the CME championship. They're going to end the season. They're still down there in they're going to Naples, right, for this finale. And right up the road from where you are right now, you're taking a little break right now this weekend. You're down there in Marco Island, and they gave you a press access. I don't know if they really recognize who we are, but they gave you press passes, and you were able to go up there for a breakfast round.
Shout out to our friends at the LPGA Tour, right? You know, yep. I won't name names, but there's some other tours where it hasn't been quite as easy to get the access that I got. So shout out to our friends at the LPGA for hooking it up. And they provided us with a couple really cool things, one of which we'll get to in a moment. But my day at the CMA was really neat. Seeing the Monday practice round, Mike, you would really appreciate. There was nobody there. It was closed to the public. It was a very intimate opportunity where I got to walk the range. Check out the reel I posted on my Instagram at Course of Life Alex, and it'll be featured at COL Podcast as well too. And see the world's best kind of slowly rev up for a big money week. This is $2 million to the winner, $7 million purse for this field at the top 60. It was neat to also follow along Allie Ewing for a couple holes. So you recognize her because she's a three-time LPGA Tour champ that won earlier this year in Charlotte. It was cool to catch up with her and her caddy Dan, walked a few holes with them, got that inside the ropes access that you and I always crave, and posted a little content clip of her on the 18th as well. So rooting for Allie and Dan this week, and it was neat to check out the ladies in full form, unprecedented access this week.
Yep, and you were able to take just a couple minutes out of the time too and talk to LPGA winner Gemma Dreiberg.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Fresh off her win in Japan a couple weeks ago. And thanks again for the team at the Pelican for setting up this interview. It was a whirlwind conversation. I got her pretty much straight off the plane from Japan from her win, landing in Florida. And she took a few moments to talk with us about everything that went into her whirlwind week.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, still sinking in at the moment, but yeah, buzzing with the win, and it's been great to see everyone this week and see all my friends that weren't in Japan, and yeah, just celebrate with everyone. So it's been, my parents come in on Friday, so can't wait to see them as well.
How are you treating the whirlwind that's been the last couple of days? Every tour pro has different emotions, but it is your first win, so this has got to be a really special one. But if you've taken the time to think about it at all the last few days, what's your kind of primary emotion after the win?
Just ecstatic, really. I've worked a lot, many years towards this. I've kind of dreamt of it a lot, and it lives up to the hype, I'd say. But yeah, it's just amazing how many messages I've received from so many different people. It's been, humbling as well to, read all the messages. And I just appreciate it so much.
That's awesome. I got to say, the final round was a masterclass in a few different ways. We'll get to it. But I got to know what happened on like the 10th tee or something like that. What kicked in the final round that absolutely took you to another planet with your golf game when you absolutely needed it down the stretch?
Yeah, I'd say I think it was 9 Momoko bogeyed that hole and I made a par. So I think that maybe put me one ahead. And then on 11, I think that was a big kicker. I birdied that hole. It was quite a tough par 4. And I birdied it. And then Momoko had a double. So I think that was a real turning point in the round. I wasn't quite sure where everyone else was at. I wasn't sure where Lynn, what she was shooting at that point. But I was pretty confident I was ahead at that stage. And then kind of just went from there and birdied 13, 14, 15. So that was a bit of a bonus as well.
Indeed. And we got to get to the clubs that blew my mind. The club I myself and all the amateurs listening at home have trouble with. Let's talk about these hybrids. Shout out your hybrids, the make and the model. Are the hybrids always flowing this much for you? Do you have that normal level of confidence? Because I hadn't seen hybrids struck that cleanly in the moment in a long time on tour.
Yeah, I have a 4 and 5 hybrid. Callaway Apex, give them a shout out. But yeah, my 5 hybrid's probably one of my favorite clubs in the bag. It just goes nice and high, usually pretty straight. I love hitting it. So, and it comes out of the rough really nicely. I got rid of the 5 iron a long time ago. But that was actually 4 hybrids, the one on 11. So I just love hitting them. They're great clubs and much better than long irons for me, that's for sure.
Okay, there we go. Callaway Apex. Love it. Good to hear. Again, it's Gemma Dryberg joining us, most recent champion on the LPGA Tour. She's at the Pelican LPGA event. Just a whirlwind week for her, but thank you for taking the time. Real quick, let's get to the first person in the family you called and spoke to after the win.
It was both mom and dad together. They were obviously together back home, so I gave them a FaceTime as soon as I got back to the hotel. So it was great to speak to them. Dad had taken a sleeping pill overnight just because they couldn't watch it live. So he was like, I won't be able to sleep otherwise. So he was still a bit groggy from that, but obviously very, very excited. I think mum was up and down all night checking the scores. So yeah, can't wait to see them and celebrate with them.
Yeah, I'm impressed that dad was actually able to stay knocked out during that. I don't know. I don't know if I could have gone to sleep in the moment if I were him.
He's usually like a very nervy guy and like obviously wants the best for me. So I'm surprised as well.
Very cool. What does it look like from here? Obviously, you've been on tour long enough to kind of know the schedule of being an LPGA Tour pro, but things do change and a lot of doors open with the win. Have you taken a second to think about maybe what the next 3, 6, 12 months look like for you now that you're a winner?
Yes, I didn't actually fully realize how many, you know, tournaments you get into with a win. I totally didn't know that you get into the US Open, which maybe was very naive of me, but that's like, I'm so excited about that being at Pebble Beach. So that's very exciting. Looking forward to that. Obviously getting into the CME next week is a big bonus. And the Tournament of Champions will be fun in January as well. So yeah, it changed a lot of my schedule next year. I was actually looking at maybe going down to Australia and playing those events down there, but now I don't have to do that, which yeah, it's very exciting.
And not that Australia is not a beautiful place, but definitely your priorities for travel have taken a new loop, and I love that. Let's finish with our 19th hole question, which we love to ask all of our guests here. I'm particularly asking about the 19th hole after your first LPGA Tour victory. What was the celebration? I'm really talking in the form of like a celebration meal and drink. What did you really get to enjoy after the victory?
Well, I went straight up, well, after I packed and everything, because we had to get our luggage all sent away, and then went up to the top of the hotel with my caddy, a few of the LPGA staff and some players. So I ordered quite a few champagne bottles and was feeling it the next morning, I must admit. But yeah, I think it was all worth it.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it paid off. Congrats on the celebration, the win, and everything that's coming for the future. We'll definitely make a point to catch up again soon, but best of luck this weekend with everything moving forward. Thank you again, Gemma.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
And that was Gemma Dryberg. You know, great to hear that she celebrated appropriately with bottles of champagne. You know, I think if I won an LPGA tournament, I don't drink. If I won any tournament, I mean, say that if I were good enough to win a tournament, even though I don't drink, let's assume I still wouldn't be drinking. I still would celebrate with champagne just in everybody's face.
I got that. I like that we got that on record. There we go. Yeah. That's what we're going to have to do.
But I would celebrate with it. So
yeah, that's right. I love it. No, I mean, you have to, especially when it's your first win on such a stage like that. And by the way, credit to her. Okay, she may have been jet lagged. She may have partied the win off, but still finished tied 13th at the Pelican this past week, and will be in the field this week at the CME. So best of luck to Gemma. Thank you for making that time. We'll be sure to connect with her, and hopefully we can have her back on again as well.
All right, let's do some hot takes, too, for the CME Group Tour Championship.
Yep.
Three-time defending champ Jin Young Ko. I mean,
aggressive.
Four times in a row?
Yeah, this has been thrown around, and I'm like, oh, wow. The years are creeping by. She really does dominate at Tiburon. Okay, yeah. Wow.
And she won last year without doing any practicing because of a wrist injury.
That's wild. Yeah, so, I mean, this tournament's up for the taking, and Allie said how much of a test it was. And 17 and 18 bears of a hole to finish the track. So I don't know. Yeah, a four-peat. I don't know. Pretty daunting. Victor Hovland couldn't get that three-peat a couple weeks ago. So I feel like something's got to give and someone else is going to lift the trophy this week. So I'm not really doing anything crazy here by saying I'll be betting against the four-peat, unfortunately.
Mm. Okay. Okay. We'll see it all. It'll be on NBC on Sunday, so you'll get to see that finale there. Let's talk about the Champions Tour real quick, because they did wrap up their Charles Schwab Cup season.
Yeah, your guy here. He won again.
Yeah, Stephen Alker claims the cup. We kind of knew he would, but let's talk about Patrick Harrington, because he's the guy right now. He's hot out there, and he bought everybody beer. So,
yes. I mean, hey, that always counts for something, right? That's how you make quick friends in life right there. It's a good example set by the Irishman. Always the tinkerer. You know, he had the mode in 2022 where basically Padre turned into like the Bryson of the Champions Tour. Like he upped the swing speed. He made it longer and bigger and lengthened the shaft and going for broke off the tee in every capacity. It got him the major championship early in the year. An impressive season overall, but nothing on your boy Alker. This guy is just living his best life, an absolute dream season for the guy from down under.
It really is. So he takes all the money on the Champions Tour and cashes that in and gets the W. And he's got a big group of fans that are, I'm sure, are celebrating with him as well. The career grinder finally cashes in and makes it happen for Steve.
That's what the PGA Tour Champions is all about. It's those guys that you see that maybe didn't necessarily make the most of their opportunity on the regular tour, and they're getting that second shot of life past the age of 50. So there's some fantastic storylines playing up.
And again, like I said last week, Stephen Alker, whoever wins the Champions Tour, they need to be in the field at Augusta. I think you need to give them a pass to let them in.
Yeah, I know. That's your kind of Freddie Couples, Bernhard Langer route, right? That's what you're trying to do to get these old guys in the field at Augusta. You love it.
I mean, why not? It's not like he's going to, well, he might make the weekend, but still.
Hey, it's a lifelong game. It's just like they always say.
Yeah. Let's look ahead to this weekend, too, for the PGA Tour. It's really kind of the last real event of the year. It's just down the road for me in Sea Island. It's the RSM Classic. This is Stuart Sink's tournament. He hosts this one, right?
Yeah, him and Davis Love is the unofficial host this year, but Stuart Sink will be lurking. Don't you worry about that. If it's a low country tournament, you know he's there. You know JT Poston's there. You know Webb Simpson's there. Regardless of maybe the lack of depth of quality in this field, the guys that are positioned in the southeast part of the country definitely teeing it up one last time.
Yeah, Scott Stallings right now. You know, what do we think? Is he's someone who you can look at? Brian Harman, even looking at the field, there's not a lot of big names out there, but still, you know. Is Taylor Montgomery in the field? Are we going to put a dollar on Taylor Montgomery?
Yeah, I am. I mentioned Joel Damon as well. That's the other one I'm giving you. He's coming off the top 10 at the Houston Open. Played well here last year as well. So that's a name you can definitely add to your card right now if you haven't already.
All right. So full picks will be up on Twitter on Wednesday, Course of Life 1. And of course, the Run Your Pool article will be up when you're listening to this podcast. Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I got a dog, Alex.
Big announcement. The littlest of big announcements in your life right there.
She is
a puppy. So has entered the household. Tiny. Tell us everything.
That's right. We got ourselves a little miniature schnauzer. She just turned 9 weeks old.
Oh boy. And you got your hands full.
Yeah, I know. Her name is Laika. Laika spelled L-A-I-K-A.
Ooh, look at you guys with a trendy name.
Yeah, spelled like the, so there's a camera company called Leica, spelled with an E, L-E-I-C-A. Mm. This is Leica, L-A-I-K-A, spelled like the stop motion animation company. And as it turns out, the Russian space dog, the first dog ever to go into space.
Very interesting. I like that. So it's very early on right now. I'm sure there's some sort of specific adversity with the puppy right now. What's the biggest hurdle you're having to climb right now?
First of all, let me say this dog is smart. She's already figured out that you go outside to go to the bathroom. She picked it up real fast. She's young, and like babies, they teeth. And so she is chewing on literally anything and everything.
Anything, what do you mean anything?
Your fingertips, your hair. She'll chew on the wife's hair a lot. She likes to like cuddle and like really burrow into you, and she'll burrow like face first into your lap, which for me, because she also likes to bite, means I need to put my hand down there to protect the family jewels.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I didn't quite think about that route. When you said she likes to chew anything and everything, I was like, yeah, but not everything. Yeah, though,
literally, if she can get her mouth around it, she's going to chew it. So, which pretty much means that wherever we have her now, we need to have a toy within arm's reach to redirect her, because we are doing this kind of training where you don't teach them wrong behavior by like being mean to them. You redirect them to the correct behavior.
So just
maybe
do more no. right stuff instead of what not to do. Yeah,
right. So you maybe say no to them once, and then you hand them a toy and redirect them from chewing the blanket or yourself, and you redirect them to chewing the toy. So
I have a feeling we're going to get some interesting content in the next few months from this puppy.
And we'll try to decide if we're going to start an Instagram channel for her because we're getting a lot of pictures and video right now.
The food angle pretty nicely right now. I'd always own the food. So we got another account on our hands here.
We might. So we'll see what happens there. We'll keep you posted.
Good stuff. Good puppy update. My update is from a couple of past guests who officially tied the knot. I'm talking about Brittany Baldy, Boston sports personality, and professional baseball player Ryan Dull. We had them both on the podcast in 2020, I believe. I've kept in touch with the both of them. And they had some adversity, Mike. Now, I know you and I both dealt with a little bit of precipitation on our wedding day. Nothing that really ruined the day. Now, they were fighting against Nicole pretty much all week because their wedding was in the Carolinas. but regardless, everything did go off okay. The wedding happened. They are married. But nothing like a little wedding week hurricane to dampen your plans.
If you remember, we had some rain on my wedding day, and I think I said while we were changing into our tuxes, I was like, you know, they say rain is good luck. Weather is good luck for your wedding. So on that route, you want full Armageddon out there.
So the hurricane is great luck, I guess, is what you're trying to say.
That's what I'm trying to say. I think it's great.
Well, shout out to Brittany and Ryan. Wist of nothing but a love, life of love and happiness. Two great people tying the knot. So it was great to see.
All right, let's go ahead and get into this week's featured guest. We're bringing back Elizabeth Diane Martin. We have her on here. Wait, was it last year? Year before?
We had her on originally to talk travel. We talked a lot of Masters merch back in the day with her. Kind of helped me get the right merch when I did my Augusta trip, so that was good. But now we're going to be leaning into some trip planning for next year.
Yeah, so she's a travel guru for golf. She's also a PXG ambassador, so she's got some good equipment in the bag for wherever she's going. And so she's going to help us plan out 2023 and where we're going next.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're planning that golf trip, it's always a little intimidating. You know, you guys, we've put these together, you know, we put one of these together earlier this year, and it's hard, especially when you're corralling the right people. Where are you going to go? What's a good central location? How do you find the right place? How do you get everything there? What's the right mix of golf and fun? These are all the important questions you got to get answered, and Elizabeth helps us with all that.
That's right. So we'll get into this conversation with Elizabeth in just a second. But first, let's talk about our friends at Forest Golf. They're some of our newest partners here on the Course of Life. They make some pretty cool polos with moisture wicking, some really cool recycled moisture wicking material.
Yes.
They got that cool little V logo going on. And then they got golf gloves. Have the ability to let you use your smartphone while you keep your golf glove on your hand.
That is very nice. Yeah, the through touch technology. Now, I've rocked the merch. I'm waiting until I get back home for my gamer set of clubs to make my glove debut. But I've rocked the merch on the course and the polos and hats. Very well fitted. Nice light material. Great in the Florida humidity. Didn't even sweat. So that's all you need to know about the merch that they offer at Forest Golf. Our promo code is COL18 for 18% off anything at forestgolf.com, including those gloves that we mentioned. I'll give you the full glove review coming up soon, but the through touch technology, exactly what you need when you're on those golf apps and scoring apps on the course. You don't want to keep taking the glove off, and that's what Forest Golf has created to get rid of that annoying fixation on the course. So check out forestgolf.com for the glove, their apparel, their merch, and everything else you need for the golfer in your life. Next up on the tee from beautiful Colorado, back on the show, we have recurring guest, our favorite golf travel correspondent. It's Elizabeth Diane Martin joining us again on the Course of Life. Elizabeth, how are you today?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Very good. Great to catch up with you. The last time we spoke, if you can believe it, was at the beginning of this year when I was at the PGA show in Orlando. It's been a while.
It has been. There's been a lot that has been happening, and I cannot believe that it's, you know, it's been that long since we've had an opportunity to chat.
Yeah. What's the, give me the 2022 life update and just to double check, because you're always like the first and last snowstorm of the winter and spring on my Instagram feed. It hasn't snowed there yet in Colorado. Is that coming soon?
No, it did snow yesterday.
Oh God, already. Wow.
Yes. Which is crazy. Yes. And yeah, the last one, we did have snow in May. Of this year, which is crazy. And yes, I feel like we are the first and the last to always get it. The great news about Colorado, though, is that
it will snow, and the next day it will melt because the sun comes out. So you won't feel like you're in winter for very long, which is great, especially for, you know, golfing, especially as we go into December, January timeframe. But yes, we always get it early and we get it late, unfortunately.
Definitely. You get you manage to get all four seasons like all year long. It's an amazing feat in Colorado, but it's a very cool place you live in. And I do have to give, I'll build you up before I break you down a little bit on the Colorado sports front. Some congratulations for you. Congrats in order for your Avs. I know you're a huge Avalanche fan. Amazing season, capped off in championship style. I know you were there for a lot of the playoff run too. What was your favorite part of the whole Stanley Cup run?
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And yes, this year has been filled with some greats, and that is one of them. My favorite is that I was at game two of the playoffs and got to actually see a shutout occur, which was crazy. And that was just the highlight of the year. Also, just got to see our championship banner raised to the rafters, which is something that every single sports fan wants to experience and see. And it was just such a great experience, not only being at the playoffs, but seeing it really come into fruition with that banner being raised.
Yeah, it was cool to see the Avalanche back on top. Those are some of my first hockey memories, even growing up in New England, is remembering that Patrick Roy Stanley Cup team from the late 90s, and to see them back on top was very cool. So with that, I built you up. I'm going to bring you a bit down because it's year one for the Broncos there in Denver with Russell Wilson, and it hasn't exactly gone swimmingly. My Patriots have some quarterback troubles of their own, but what's the vibe there with Broncos country there through about the first half of the season so far?
Yeah, Broncos country is not great right now. Honestly, yeah. It's been like, yep, we're ready for a great ride. And the ride has been very, very rough and bumpy and not expecting, you know, what we thought we were going to get from not only a quarterback standpoint, but just from a team standpoint. Our defense is supposed to be, you know, amazing, and they're showing up, but our offense, unfortunately, cannot put it together, which has just been so rough. And so rough to watch.
Yeah, it's surprising. I mean, I feel like Russell Wilson's going to get it together at some point this season. We'll see if that's too little too late or not, though. But we'll just focus on the golf. That's the cooler stuff that we both get a lot more enjoyment out of anyway. Again, it's Elizabeth Diane Martin joining us. She's our favorite golf travel correspondent. Elizabeth_Diane22. And let's talk about some of your journey. You played maybe a bucket list Colorado course in Broadmoor, which is hosted, I believe, some different major championships. You know a little bit more about the history behind the track, though. What was that experience like getting out there?
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. The last time that I was out at the course was for the Senior Open that they hosted a couple years back.
Okay.
And walking in and actually seeing not only, you know, the course, but being able to walk in and be like, I'm playing here today instead of I'm watching a tournament here today was great. You know, experiencing their range, just experiencing the putting green, knowing that, you know, legends have walked on that putting green before me, and knowing that there's some upcoming tournaments, you know, from not only a senior standpoint, but also an amateur standpoint that will be played there is just so awesome. They used to have three courses there. They now only have two because one was lost to a mudslide that occurred a couple years back.
Wow.
So yeah, that actually, I would say that course had the most history from what I remember on it. But it is so cool to walk up and actually be able to, you know, stand on the first tee and know that, you know, there's been championships that have been won there. Just as well, it's an amazing course just in Colorado, and they are known for their rough greens, which they definitely are. That's for sure.
How was the putting expedition out there for you?
Yeah, the putting expedition actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be going into it, which is great. I had very, very low expectations, which is probably why I was a little surprised on how it went. But putting was actually not bad. Everything slopes away from the mountain. You just need to remember that. But it messes with your eyes, and it's really difficult. The other thing that's difficult on this course, and just some history here, there was one pro that actually asked for this to be turned off. But every hour, and then leading up to the hour, there's a clock tower that is on the mountain that goes off. And on every hour, it actually plays a full song. And so it is like the old organ songs that you hear.
Wow.
And so depending on where you're at, you know, in your round, it can be anywhere from a minute to a couple seconds where you're hearing chimes. And it can definitely be something where you're like, okay, this is messing with me, or okay, it's keeping the round very light. It really just depends on, you know, mentally how you're approaching it. For me, it was very much the latter. It was breaking up things. It was, you know, kind of like setting the mood for the next putt or my next shot, which was great. But I can totally understand why many pros have asked for that clock tower to actually be turned off, because it can be a distraction, especially when you've got a tournament on the line with a putt and that goes off.
For sure. And that's all definitely, like you said, a mindset thing. If you're not feeling it and maybe you're not in a great mood and you're like waiting for the hour mark to hit just because you're dreading the noise of that song in the background, then that's when you know what type of day you're in for. But funny little feature there at Broadmoor. Very cool travels. And I know you do not only a lot of golf travel content, but you've also been very closely aligned with the veteran golfing community specifically for a while. For those people who don't know, tell everyone a little bit about your work with the veterans, specifically in the golfing community, and maybe anything notable you've done this past year since we last spoke.
Yeah. So supporting veterans has been something that has really been a part of my mission for a while. I have worked with organizations like the Veteran Golfers Association, PXG, which I'm still working with, other veteran organizations, including a podcast, really, in a series where we highlight veterans. And it's not even specific to golf. And that's the American Veterans Show that I'm a correspondent for. And it's really highlighting those who have sacrificed their time, their energy, their blood, sweat, and tears, literally, for our freedom. And giving back to them is a huge thing that I am always a proponent for.
I love it.
And then you tie it into golf. And I'm a huge believer that golf can save lives. So really tying those two together has been something that has been, you know, super important for me. This year's been a little bit quieter on the event side from a veteran standpoint, but have done some great events and have been a part of some great events, including the opening of PXG Denver, where, as you know, they're a veteran-owned company with Dr. Bob Parson, and really highlighting, you know, the fact that they do provide discounts for military veterans, first responders. It's huge to be a part of something like that.
Very cool. Yeah, I love that cooperation and collaboration as well, too, with PXG. And don't worry, we'll get a fashion tip later from your friends at PXG.
Yes.
But first, let's get to some travel talk, because I know we're at that point in the year where it's November, holidays are near, maybe groups of friends are gathering, and the ideas are bubbling for the 2023 golf trip out there. If you're listening right now, you probably had that idea at one point recently. Maybe it's time to start investigating. We're going to kind of walk you through the quick do's and don'ts and recommendations from Elizabeth, because she's got a lot of experience traveling golf specifically. So let's start with just kind of the actual planning of the trip and figuring out, you know, who goes and how many people go. What's maybe a good rule of thumb for like how far in advance you want to start planning exactly who's going to be a part of the trip when you're golfing?
Yeah, great question. I would say at least about anywhere from 4 to 5 months ahead of time. And I know that seems very proactive and very far in advance, but you can actually find the best deals, not only from a flight standpoint, a hotel standpoint, but you will be able to secure your calendar. So whether that's requesting time off work, whether that's finding babysitters, whether that's anything that you have to do to make that trip happen, you really need at least a 4 month in advance confirmation from anybody that is going. So I would start there. And you really want to make sure you are picking a location that is based on the season. So as an example, if you're coming to Colorado in December, you might want to have a backup plan just in case it snows and your golf round.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So really taking a look at the weather, and I know that seems like a no-brainer, but honestly, there's people that I have talked to or that I have seen that really don't take that into consideration. They're like, oh, it's beautiful year round there. And some parts of the country, as we all know, aren't. And that seems like very much a no-brainer, but that is a tip that I would have you look at in regards to wherever you're going, is make sure you're checking the weather before you really secure those flights, secure those hotels, to make sure that that is something that you want to do, because that deal may be because of the seasonality of that place.
Absolutely. And that goes on the other end of the spectrum here in Texas, to where people think it's all fun and games playing in the summer, because the summer in Texas, it's always nice weather here. Yes, but it's also 105 degrees here for 2 or 3 months of the year. So you might not want to be playing golf in that. So those are the things to know before you book at certain parts of the country. In terms of where you go, what's kind of, how do you weigh like geography and trying to maybe find a central hub versus maybe just something that's, you know, on the cheap and trying to find the good deal? Where's the balance there when you're finding exactly where you want the location to be for your golf trip?
Yeah. So I would make sure that you're deciding ahead of time with your group. Is this something that is a bucket list item where you guys are willing to travel that far, or pay that price from a round standpoint, or just even the total trip in itself? Or is it, hey, it is snowing, I want to get away, I want to get away in the next couple months. I know it's going to be snowing, I know the weather's going to be rough, let's go somewhere warm.
Yeah.
And then go from there. So I would say it really just depends on what you're looking for in regards to that trip. Is it going to be a bucket list item where you're going to have things be a little bit more on the pricier end? Not that you can't have a bucket list course trip without it being pricey. You certainly can. You just have to plan it in regards to accommodations not being super pricey. But if it is a, hey, we're going to meet in the middle, that is something that I would advise. Or if it's a, hey, we have one person that might be able to have a stay at their house, and so we're going to go there. It's really what makes the most sense for not only your budget, but also for your group, and then what you're willing to accommodate.
Yeah.
The other thing that
the central location and taking that Airbnb fee away. That's a big one. I like that.
Yes, it is. So that's one thing from a budget standpoint that you can look into. The other thing that I always suggest and, you know, recommend is like, hey, is it a guy's trip? Is it a girl's trip? Or is it a, hey, we're bringing our girlfriends, boyfriends, spouses, because those are definitely different vibes from a trip standpoint. So not only making sure that you've got the location, is it a bucket list trip? Is it not? Is it a getaway from a guy's standpoint? Is it a girl's getaway? Making sure that you've got the vibe set correctly too, because that can also dictate what your trip will look like. And what I mean by that is, if you were just golfing, you might want to, you know, have, if you don't have the others golfing, you might have a set tee time and then other activities that you've got to plan around that. So making sure that you're really taking all of those things into consideration.
Definitely. Let's get social for this next thought. And let's think about the group that absolutely is there to golf during the day and party at night. That's the kind of younger golf trip, whatever group it may be. There's a big balance there, because you want to have your enjoyment on the course, but you also want to party, see the town, nightlife, be out. You know, basic tips that people don't think about, things like late nights followed by early morning tee times, probably a no. But what are things to consider when they're balancing, you know, how much they want to golf versus, you know, socialize and see the nightlife of the area?
Yeah, early morning tee times is an absolute no for this group. because you think you can make it and you think you're going to be fine, but really you are not. You might be staying out too, and it depends on, you know, how much of your social life, but all throughout a time. If you're staying out till 1 a.m. and you're, you know, out on the town, you are not making a 7 a.m. tee time. As much as you think you are, and even if you stayed up, it's not going to be an enjoyable round, as we all know.
Yes.
So planning for that, as well as also planning some downtime. So I myself have tried to cram in a bunch of golf, you know, say I'm there for 3 days and I'm going to golf all 3 days. And sometimes that's just not possible for your body. And you really have to understand and realize that of, hey, I might need a rest day or even a rest afternoon where I am not, you know, going out on the town. I'm not sightseeing. I'm not doing all of these things where it is just very a relaxing, I'm going to sit by the pool, I'm going to hang out, you know, type of afternoon or type of day. So making sure that you have a balance of both is something that I do suggest too, even though I know myself included our diehard golfers want to get in all of those rounds. And sometimes it's just not possible.
Yeah, definitely. No, important things to remind yourself of, no matter what level of travel expertise you have. Always, always good to know when you're planning the 2023 golf trip here with Elizabeth Diane Martin. Let's get to a crucial question that everyone who's browsing the internet asks. And I want your opinion on this regarding reviews, course reviews, resort reviews, property reviews. Where do you go and where do you trust and find the best information when you're trying to read the reviews and get real good, honest feels for what a golf vacation could be like, depending on where you go?
Yeah. So I actually pit a couple of sites against each other. So I go to TripAdvisor, I go to booking.com, I go to Trivago, and those are just the main big ones. And I actually read the reviews. I also look from a restaurant standpoint at Yelp. So all of the mainstream ones that you know, we may have heard or we may have known about, I continue to dig. I also look at the resort's, you know, site. I look at pictures, not only that are taken by the resort, but those that have been taken by travelers, because that way you can see what it might look like if you were just to take a picture on your cell phone, not, right. You know, something that has been Photoshopped or lighting looks better. So that's what I would recommend from a review standpoint. But also too, you know, making sure if you've had somebody that's been there before, asking them. So if there's resorts that you've seen that I've been to, you know, reaching out. If there's resorts that you've seen others from a social media standpoint, reaching out to you and saying, hey, how was that? So really word of mouth, I would say, is the best outside of those big review websites.
Love it. Good stuff. And last but not least, let's give a couple shout outs out, because I know you're always kind of on the prowl looking to see what's new or where people should take these trips. I'll shout out my friends at Hyatt Regency Tamaya in New Mexico. It was a great trip that I just had. It's a fun little desert oasis. I'm seeing a lot of course from Sweetens Cove, a lot of content there. What are some cool, maybe, you know, buzzier names that you've seen recently that could be potential good landing zones for golf travel in 2023?
Yeah, I've seen Sweetens Cove. I've also seen in the Phoenix area, the Hilton Tapatio is another great one. They have a course actually on site. So those two I would definitely recommend for those to take a look at.
I like that. That could be something for my Waste Management Phoenix Open Week there. I like that.
Yes.
The Hilton Tapatio. Okay, cool. All right, it's Elizabeth _ Diane 22. Let's get to some quick shots here. Real quick, I need you to rate my Masters merch haul. We've talked about this before, and I finally got to Augusta in April. So I got the keychain, the coffee cup, a polo, a towel, and socks. I could not find the infamous gnome that you mentioned, but it was an absolute madhouse in there. How did I do with my first merch haul at Augusta?
Yeah, for your first merch haul, I would give you a B+.
I'll take it.
The reason I'm giving you a B+ is because would be a lot more that I feel like you could have grabbed on your way out, you know, like a flag or things like that, that you don't really think about. But as you mentioned, it is the most overwhelming shopping experience I have experienced, as well as those who have been there have experienced. It is crazy. It's packed. You feel like, you know, you're at a concert trying to get hats, trying to get pullovers, trying to get anything in that shop. So it can be very overwhelming. I would have just thrown a couple more knickknacks there so that you can, you know, continue to show them off and remember it.
Definitely. Yeah. And that was, yeah, Tuesday morning at like 7:30. It was like, might as well have been the Mall of America in there. I think I spent about $200 in about 5 minutes. The place is overwhelming, to say the least.
Yes. Easy to do.
Thoughts on the double bachelorette season that we just wrapped up? I know you're an honorary member of Bachelor Nation as well, too. First time having two simultaneous bachelorettes. How do you think it went?
Yeah, it was rough. yeah. I'm not going to lie. It was hard to watch. And, you know, I got hooked because I had a friend that was actually on the show way back when. So I have kind of just kept up with it. And this one, I feel like threw me for a loop and threw me kind of some curveballs, because it was very much a, hey, what's going on? How is this going to go? And so I was watching because of that. And then I just feel like it just spiraled out of control.
Yes.
It was tough. It was tough to watch and tough to see. And I feel like, you know, everything that they put Warren through on camera, I know that we needed to see that to understand her process and you know, really how hurt she was. But there were times where I just wanted to be like, turn the camera off. We don't need to see this. That was a little painful.
Seriously, a lot of cringe moments, indeed. Something that wasn't cringe. You had a really cool experience with our friends at Topgolf, the Topgolf Live at Colorado Stadium there. What was a cool kind of behind the scenes or neat moment from hitting balls in the football stadium?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. The coolest thing was actually getting a tour of the locker room and where the players go, which I have been in that stadium countless times before, but I have never actually seen the locker room behind the scenes, you know, where they get ready, where their trophy room is, and just how it's all set up. Got to see the Heisman, or a replica of the Heisman, nice, is what they say. But yes, it was awesome. It was really cool. And I can actually say that I have golfed in that stadium, which is awesome. Not all the people can say that.
Very unique feat indeed. Check those out when they come to your town. And let's get in that PXG Fast and Peace advice right now. Holiday shopping season for the ladies out there and the golfers as well too. What's something that you're wearing right now from PXG that you're loving?
Yeah, honestly, all of their fall and winter line. And I am not just saying that to say that. It is awesome. Their pants are amazing. I know it's very, very hard to find women's golf pants that actually have stretch in them and fit where, you know, they're not, you know, baggy in certain places that you don't want them to be baggy and tight in others. So their pants are amazing. They've got a couple different items where there's a lighter fit that feels more like a legging material, but they don't look like leggings, which is great, especially if you're trying to keep up with that, you know, country club dress code where you can't have leggings, but you want to be comfortable and feel like you're golfing in leggings. So definitely say to check out their pants as well as their tops. There is a sweater. It's a black and white sweater that I am living in pretty much from work and going directly to the course. So there's a lot of pieces that you can use to, you know, show up at work and then go directly to the course on. Lastly, there is their pattern knit dress. It's a long sleeve dress that I have worn with heels to work and then gone directly to the course with.
Oh, that's what it's all about.
Thrown on my golf shoes. So that is the best thing in regards to this line, is that you can seamlessly transition from a work setting to a golf setting.
That's nice. The true versatility. I appreciate that. And we always wrap with our 19th hole question, but we've been down that road with you, so I'll flip it a little bit. What's maybe a snack that you would pick like in between holes 9 and 10 on the golf course these days?
Ooh, good snack that I am picking. So I have been picking up pistachios, and I know that sounds crazy, but we have like a little, at our halfway house, there's a little bag of them that you can just like grab and go. And for some reason, that has been my go-to snack on the course.
That flavor of pistachio is great. And I used to have pistachio ice cream a lot when I was younger. I need to revisit that flavor because it's been too long.
Yes, you do.
Sounds amazing. Elizabeth, thank you so much for hopping on. As always, Elizabeth underscore Diane 22. Be sure to follow her in the American Veteran Show as well. Appreciate all the content and look forward to seeing your travels as well.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on. And I can't wait to share.
And we're back. Great chat there with Elizabeth Diane Morton. Great to hear from her and that she's doing well. And Alex, what are we going to do for our next trip now that we have all this training?
You're ready to pack your bags and do another one? You good with that?
I'm ready. I'm ready, man. once my hands heal from all the injuries I had this week, I'm ready to go.
You did. Yeah. Check out Twitter at MWRINC for quite the ordeal you had there. But once we get you back to full health for golf, I think we're planning on something. I'm teasing the idea of maybe an early week waste management trip. You know, not quite for the madness, but there's a concert the week before. We got some friends in Phoenix, our Desert Fox golf friends that we can hang out with. So the possibilities are endless in 2023, but it's really cool to hear Elizabeth break down the best ways for you to plan your trip out there. If you like her, be sure to follow her content as well. And if you like that conversation, follow and click the subscribe button right now so you can hear more great Course of Life content for our future travels in the game of golf.
All right, let's talk college football.
Yeah.
So your overall picks, 6-6.
This is not a repeat. I did actually edit the notes from the previous week. You're not repeating yourself here. I swear.
and in your Run Your Pool article, 2-3.
This is called treading water. That's what we call this in the biz, Mike.
Is that how we're sugarcoating this?
Yeah, it's, you know, we're treading water. We don't have a life jacket or a boat really near us right now. So you really can't tread water for too long in those scenarios. So we're going to have to find a buoy soon. I don't really know when that's going to be. It's going to have to be with some really big games, though, because we're getting to that nail-biting time here in the next few Saturdays where we're determining everything, the conference championships and obviously the Final Four for the college football playoff.
Yeah, the current top four in the college world is Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and the TCU Horned Frogs. Go Horned Frogs.
Still, I mean, hanging on. I just keep betting them every week. Everyone's waiting for their downfall. And the thing that's kept me upright the last month is I just keep betting on TCU. I wonder when it's going to run out. Like, everyone thinks they're going to drop one here, but maybe they're not. So I'm going to ride the wave as long as I can. We'll see how that potentially shakes up the top four in the next couple of weeks.
That's right. Let's talk the NFL. Your run, your pool picks. 2-2 again, Alex, like treading water. Is that what we're saying here? You're just treading water.
Now I'm imploring people, hey, you know, maybe don't take all my picks. Just try and find the ones that are winners. That's happy hunting out there.
So in other words, what you're saying is don't trust my picks at all. Go and make your own picks. Sounds like what you're saying there.
Maybe if you're going to bet 4 or 5, take a couple of mine and take a couple of years right now until things change. But regardless, yeah, we're still near 500 on both our college and NFL picks. So that's good from that betting perspective. But as for our teams, my Patriots are off the bye week now, 5-4 hosting the Jets. We had a nice week against them a few weeks ago. I feel like things are bound to change just because nothing's a guarantee in the post-Tom Brady Pats world. So who knows what we're going to see on Sunday at Gillette.
Yeah, but what I can tell you you're going to see is the Giants beating the Lions this coming weekend after they routed the Houston Texans, the one-win Houston Texans. So Giants are 7-2. I mean, come on. Wow.
I mean, this is getting scary at this point. I'm almost a little scared for you. You guys might need to slow down here. You're getting a little too hot too early in the season. I'm not sure if that means this is a letdown spot against the Lions, who just snagged their first road win in like 2 years this past weekend. Yeah. I might bet the Lions +3.5. I don't know. Check out the runyourpool.com article I put up for my full football betting previews, both college and NFL, and see who I end up going with there.
Real quick, what do you think of receiver Tom Brady? Tom Brady.
The meme-worthy moment of the week. It's quite a dichotomy right now. We have Tom Brady getting memed to death for everything on and off the field going on in his life. But at the same time, that the better in me notices that, geez, Tom Brady hasn't lost a game since that divorce announcement. Interesting. Mm. Something to chew on. Interesting.
What a world. Yes, indeed. All right, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yeah, our food segment to end every COL podcast episode. Course of Life always ends with food. I'm here in Florida, so that means I'm taking everything from the sea. It was a plethora of fried shrimp, coconut shrimp, shrimp po' boys. Haven't got the oysters yet, Mike. We got that lovely crab and cheese dip at Pinchers, which I think I took you to as well.
Nice.
Seafood check boxes have been officially done this week.
Like it. I mean, that's what you got to do. When you're on the Gulf Coast, you got to enjoy everything that the water gives you, which is all of that. So that sounds fantastic. This past week for me, you know, it was a wife's birthday week. Yes, we celebrate birthday. Once you reach a certain age, the birthday takes all week because you can't always celebrate it on the day.
Right. Because we have lives and we're adults and we can't go out on Tuesday nights anymore if we want to, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So other than getting my wife a puppy.
Other than that, you did something else. That, man, what a husband he is.
I did make her babka. She's a big fan of this birthday cake babka.
Nice.
Which is a babka with a cream cheese filling that has sprinkles in it, because we don't call them Jimmy's anymore. Thank you for correcting me. Then it's got like a crumb topping on top as well, a little bit of icing. It's more like a coffee cake than a babka, but it is her favorite. And because it's her favorite, she gets it on her birthday. I really never make it any other time of the year because I'm not a huge fan of it, to be perfectly honest. But she likes it.
You're just that good of a husband that you will just do it anyway.
I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I have all the brownie points. Let me tell you, all the brownie points.
Good stuff. Yeah, and before we do wrap, too, it's part 2 of 3 talking Thanksgiving. We talked about some apps last week. Is there any official addendum or update to your Thanksgiving menu plans? Anything you'd like to share with us?
The menu is done. The menu is planned.
All right, which direction are we going?
There's one thing sitting out there that I haven't decided if I'm going to do or not, and that is stuffing. I'm not sure if I'm going to do stuffing or not. Mm. But that said, I am going to do a garlic rosemary turkey with porcini mushrooms and a porcini gravy.
Wow. So the mushroom angle. Very intriguing. Yeah. Okay.
So we're going out there with that. I'm going to do a sauteed green beans with pancetta and a shaved Brussels sprout and kale salad.
Very nice. Very green, too. I love the green beans and meat. The green beans and meat, you can't go wrong with. That's a sneaky great combo. Yeah. I usually do a different form of bacon with the green beans, too.
And I was looking at it all. I don't know if I'm going to do stuffing or not. I'm going to make buttermilk biscuits to go with it, too. And I'm trying to decide if I'm going to do stuffing. Like I'm back and forth on it. I don't know whether I think I am, but I'm not sure. So,
okay. We'll I'll have to think about how I want to spice up the turkey, but I'm definitely doing turkey. It's going to be some form of oven roasted potatoes, my famous cream corn. And then, you got me talked into that green beans and bacon. That's a simple one out there. If you just are an idiot and don't know what to do with cooked vegetables, you just throw a bunch of green beans, bacon, maybe almonds into the oven and just let it go. And it's going to come out great. It's very hard to mess that up. So that's a tip for all the amateurs out there.
There you go. It'll be great. One way or the other, it's going to be tasty.
And next week will be the final part of our Thanksgiving preview. Next week, Thanksgiving and birthday week for you. How fast did that come, huh?
November, everything after Halloween, the year just like fast, you know, it goes fast till you get to the end there.
We're on fast forward. So next Tuesday is going to happen very fast. Be sure to click subscribe right now for next week's episode. Until then, enjoy your week.